Oh, great. For God's sake. This week on football... This week on football, Roy Keane headbutted, but Big Meek steps in. Steve Cooper hires an ear-scratching assistant.
Took a little bit of anger from the Man United game and some things that didn't go our way. And put it all together.
Damien Duff pumps up the Shelburne crowd. Jude Bellingham is the best player in the world. And Manchester United sign Andrew Tate. That's right, welcome back, and it's another episode of Goalposts for Jumpers. It's me, Alex. As you can tell, I am severely ill and suffering, but this is the true commitment that we offer at Goalposts TV, that we are still turning up, rain or shine. As you can see, if you are watching on the video episode, it is shining. It's 28 degrees, sunny, beautiful weather. So, of course, I'm ill this week. Right, okay, so what do we normally start off these episodes with? Well, we start off with a quiz question. This week's quiz question is... Erling Haaland scored another hat-trick this week. 20 points he scored on Fantasy Premier League. He's top on points, but who is second? Who is second on points in Fantasy Premier League? So Erling Haaland on 20 points from this week. He's on 39 in total. There is someone behind him. Who is second to him? The answer will be at the end of the show, so make sure you stay tuned. Okay, coming up in this week's episode, we'll be catching up around Europe. We have got two lies and a truth, another classic two lies and a truth. We've got TikTok submissions as well. But first of all, we are going to be doing my team of the week. So as you know, a lot of you who listen regularly, I do a team of the week, but I don't do a team of the week like Garth Crooks does, where he doesn't actually watch the games. I only do it for players who I've seen play. So that means any of the live televised games or any football that I have gone to. So starting off in this week's team of the week, in goal, we have got Jordan Pickford. Right back, we have got Veltman. Centre back, we have got Singo. Alongside him is Kurt Zouma. Left back is Kayo Henrique. Central midfield is James Ward-Prowse. We've also got Billy Gilmore, Martin Ødegaard, Jared Bowen right wing. We've got Ibrahim Sadiq at left wing. And up front, who else but Evan Ferguson. Okay, let's go around my team and I'll give you my reasons why. Goalkeeper was Jordan Pickford. To be honest, I was finding it quite difficult to pick a goalkeeper this week. I think Pickford's save at the end done it for me. I think that is a match-saving save. Without that, yeah, Everton lose, and it was a big game for Everton to pick up a point in, but Pickford saved the first save, then the second save, and then to gather it in was absolutely remarkable. He's done that 2-3 weeks in a row now, so Jordan Pickford had to be in there. Like I said, there wasn't much competition. I would have gone for Andre Onana. I think his performance against Arsenal, not from a strictly goalkeeping performance, but all-round ball-playing performance, I thought he was absolutely incredible. But yeah, losing 3-1, I can't have Andre Onana in there. Right back, we had Joel Veltman. So Veltman kept Anthony Gordon quiet, which not many right-backs have done so far this season. I think a lot of people see him as almost a bit of a weak link out of that Brighton side. You've got such talented players around, but... Veltman goes under the radar a bit. I thought he was brilliant against Anthony Gordon and the whole of the front line. I thought he did really well, kept that Newcastle side quiet. Kurt Zouma, centre-back as well, a great goal. And for 90 minutes until Luton scored that goal late on, I thought he defended impeccably. A great goal, yeah, the winning goal as well in the end. Kayo Henrique, anyone who doesn't know him, he plays for Monaco. He is the left back for Monaco. He came up with two great assists. I did watch that Monaco game at the weekend. two great assists, but throughout he was almost one of Monaco's biggest threats going forward. A really underrated player. If you get the chance, definitely go and see him. Central midfield, we had James Ward-Prowse. He narrowly missed out the last few weeks, but I've put him in there this week. It could have been any of the three across that midfield for West Ham. I thought they were brilliant. Paqueta, Alvarez, I thought had a really good game, but James Ward-Prowse with the assist and all round just kept the ball moving. Just knocking the ball right, making the right decisions, making the right passes, and then absolutely unbelievable, maybe one of the best in the league, if not the best in the league when it comes to delivery and set pieces. So he had to go in there this week. Martin Ødegaard and Billy Gilmour were the other two central midfielders. I felt like Billy Gilmour really showed us what we expected him to be at Chelsea. He hasn't really had much game time, but this season he seems to be the main man in midfield, and I thought he was absolutely brilliant against Newcastle. Again, a really difficult game for Brighton, but I thought he in general was brilliant. Yeah, and Ødegaard, what can you say? What a player. I'm just so jealous of Arsenal. He, for a Man United fan who's got a midfield where there's so much potential, he likes a Bruno Fernandes, Eriksen, Mason Mount, Casemiro, he's a player that I would take in a heartbeat. I think only other players maybe on his level, Fernandes and De Bruyne, are in that position. And yeah, the most dangerous player for Arsenal every single week. Gary Neville said it in commentary, if you're Arsenal, you just get the ball to him in around that 18-yard box area, and it feels like something's going to happen. Scored a really, really good goal against Man United to hit back. And yeah, I think overall, Martin Ødegaard, one of the best players in the league for me, and he's really showing it. Right, who did we have? Right, when we had Jared Bowen, got absolute pelters from the Luton fans. Unnecessary as well. I thought some of the chants were disgusting. Just completely unnecessary. But what I loved about it was Bowen got up, nodded in the goal to give West Ham the lead and silenced the crowd and went like this to the crowd. I absolutely loved that. Not a West Ham fan, but yeah, absolutely love that. Big Jared Bowen fan, me. Left wing. Here's a player that probably nobody would have seen unless you are Scottish and an Aberdeen fan. Aberdeen played Hacken midweek and they got knocked out. And the player that stood out for me, and I couldn't believe it, because there's not many. I watch a lot of football, and I watch a lot of lower league football, and it's very rare, I think, any of the players will stand out enough for me to put them in my team of the week. But Ibrahim Sadiq, in that Europa League qualifier, scored twice against Aberdeen and just looked a cut above the rest. He really did, and I really liked him. There were talks about him getting a move from that Hacken team. Well, he did. That was his last game for them. Alkmaar signed him. He hasn't played a game for Alkmaar yet, but I think he's one for the future. He came out of Ghana, and Ghana have got a team, an academy team, called Right to Dream, where they bring young African players, young Ghanaian players through, and they kind of source them around, particularly in America. Well, he came through that, joined Hacken, and yeah, really, really impressed. A lot of really, really strong Ghanaian prospects out there at the moment, and I think he's one to look out for at Alkmaar this season. Up front, probably the performance of the weekend for me was Evan Ferguson, hat-trick against Newcastle. First goal, striker's finish, you know, third goal was a deflection, but that second goal was outrageous. You know, not many players have the balls to take that shot on, and not just a shot from 30 yards, but to just bend it like he did around a really solid goalkeeper like Nick Pope, just beat him comfortably from that sort of range. And yeah, 18 years old, I think we all know what we're going to see from Evan Ferguson. I talked about it at the start of the season that he is the next big thing. I think he's a player that Man United should have signed. We signed Højlund, and I'm not saying that he's not going to be a good player because he looked really good on the weekend, but Evan Ferguson, 18 years old, you know, he already knew the Premier League and we knew he was going to get better. Could have probably got him for 50 or 60 million in the summer, but you know, next year I think we're looking at a £150 million player. So yeah, Evan Ferguson had to be in there. Hat-trick this week and absolutely unplayable. Okay, what have we got next? We have got Two Lies and a Truth. Right, okay. Anyone who doesn't know this part of the show, basically, I have three crazy football stories. Two of them are lies and one of them is a true story. You have to guess which one is the true story. Okay, let's go. Okay, story number one. Italian maestro Andrea Pirlo once paid Gennaro Gattuso 10,000 euros to eat a slug. The AC Milan teammates donated the money to the Milan staff. That's Gennaro Gattuso eating a slug for 10,000 euros. Okay, story number two. Serginho, a 23-year-old midfielder who plays his football in the Portuguese second division, had his driving license taken away after he was caught with two sheep in the back seat of his car. The Portuguese man was helping a family friend move the animals from a local farm. That's story number two. And story number three. Former Westfield's midfielder, Matt Reeve, once received an 8-match ban following his side's first-round FA Cup tie with Curzon Ashton. The 31-year-old celebrated a goal by exposing his genitals to his cousin in the stands. That's three stories. You have to guess which one is true. The answer will be revealed at the end of the show. Okay, right, so we've got some TikTok submissions. This part of the show is where I have a select few people who can send me TikToks that they want me to react to on the podcast. So let's get it started with the first one. Okay, this is football training in the 1950s. For anyone who's listening and not watching, basically, they are running through constructed walls. I can't even explain what these are. These look like they would hold cattle. I think we've come a long way from that. I don't even know what they're trying to achieve from that. This can't be real. This has got to be some sort of, like, skit. I don't know, we've come a long way. I mean, look at the pitch, look at the ball. Terrible, shocking. Okay, next one.
However it worked, Marshall was on the left for 10 minutes and it didn't take long out there. As soon as he went out there, by the way, there was a rat-a-tat-tat of passes out on the left, and it looked so much better between him and Shaw and Pogba. You know, I honestly think Marshall's our best number nine, and I think he's our best left winger, but we've only got one of him.
Okay, we're talking about Anthony Martial here, and we're talking about Anthony Martial maybe 3 years ago. Maybe 5 years ago, because we're not talking about Anthony Martial right now. I don't think he played really particularly poorly against Arsenal on the weekend, but he is not a Manchester United number nine anymore. I think that's the last we should see of him. I don't think it was like Ten Hag praised him in the post-match interview for some reason. He's just an absolute shadow of what he could have been. For me, Anthony Martial, yeah, I don't really want to see him in our team anymore.
To give them a bit of a positive message.
Look at positive quotes, which I look at Google, to be fair, and I write my own sometimes. So like, never believe you're good enough.
To be fair, he's right. Never believe you're good enough. Always think you're not good enough. And always live in a world of depression and self-hatred. Good advice, Cal the Dragon. This is a really touchy subject. I don't like what I'm seeing here at all, because the way it's been portrayed in the media is like, this woman is a victim of sexual assault. That's how it's been portrayed. Now, I don't think this guy is a particularly good guy. I think he obviously doesn't know his boundaries. And I think there was it was a forcible kiss, but I understand it because they hugged and kissed each other. And I wouldn't be surprised if a Spanish person did that to a one man to another, because it's a cultural thing, right? Now, if she'd have come out and said she was, you know, it really affected her and all of this, and then we hadn't seen things like this where they're laughing and joking about it as well, I think we could have taken it a bit more seriously. Now, it just feels really disingenuous. I feel like it's kicking up a fuss and a storm over absolutely nothing. That's my genuine opinion on it. And you can say what you want about my opinions, but when you see something like this, when they are laughing and joking about it, and then they come out and pretend like it's a really serious thing and they're a victim, there are genuine people who go through assaults and abuse and things like this that really affect them. And I think that just laughs in the face of people like that. And I think, yeah, outrageous. Really don't like it. Really not a good look. Look at that cat. Look at that cat. That's a cat doing an interview. For anyone who's listening. Yeah, I've got nothing to say about that other than there's a cat being interviewed. Okay, I won't go any further, but this is a minute-long video of Moises Caicedo's mistakes in a Chelsea shirt, and he's only played like two games. This is a classic case of a player being in his own head. He has got that price tag, 100% got that price tag on his mind. The whole thing that happened with Liverpool and choosing Chelsea, when you've then got a whole fan base who expects you to go there, and then you go somewhere else, the pressure it brings on you to perform in your first game and your second game, and with that price tag as well, is just huge. And for such a young lad, I think it's proven that it might be too big for him. You know, a quality player at Brighton, but maybe this, the pressure of this is too much.
You win the league this year, but Saka goes in the summer.
That's a mad question, bro.
Wait, to win the league or they sell me?
Saka, you're going nowhere, bro.
Yeah, never. That's not worth it. That's not worth it. That's our star boy. That's like your son.
I think second place.
Well,
second place.
Hey, that's real love, you know.
Club in England, cap. We'll win the league again.
That's real talk.
I'll keep Saka.
That's the people's champ. That's our son. We've been through so much.
Wow.
That's not a deal worth even contemplating.
If Saka...
He said it's not even contemplating.
It's detrimental to the rest of our season. It's a project, what we're doing. The project wasn't even supposed to be done yet. Trust the process. Keep Saka. Yeah. We win the champs next year.
I don't even want to hear that. That's a terrible question.
It's a process. It's a process. That's real love. I appreciate that. Go back and pay off the
fake. Bakayo Saka there, saying that they would rather keep him than win a Premier League title, which is saying something. But I think... with Saka, is the thing with him is he is one of their own. He's come through the academy. He's such a likeable character, but he's also someone who's connected with the fans on a real deeper level. They see him as someone that kind of embodies Arsenal and the future, the prospect, the kind of hope that they carry, the Arsenal fans, kind of relies on him. We've got someone who's 21, who is arguably one of the best wingers in the world, one of the best wingers in the league, and he's getting to a level where I think, you know, a lot of players his age take maybe another 2-3 years to get to, and he's already there. So yeah, Bukayo Saka, not just a wonderful player, but a wonderful human being, it seems, and Arsenal fans absolutely love him, and I understand why completely.
Watch out, I got it.
No, it's okay, I'll get it.
No, wait! We'll use the power of friendship.
Hey, we got the accent challenge. Shout with me, Dirty Pump was 10. Bing. I number one. He got Bing.
The respect I have for blind footballers, like we just saw that finish there. The dribbling, the ability that they show when not being able to see anything is remarkable. It's incredible. Really impressive. Okay, I'm officially suspicious. So anyone who's just listening, we've just watched a video of Javier Zanetti, I think it is, doing the Champions League draw and pretending to move his hand around the different balls, but keeping his hand pretty much fixed on one ball, which turns out to be Real Madrid. I don't know if that worked out to be a favourable draw for them, but either way, a bit strange, weird.
Today in The Sun, it's been reported that Man United fans are the Premier League's worst for early exits. Really? Ooh. Almost one in four fans in total admitted to leaving before the final whistle at least once last season, while beating the traffic as the main reason. Arsenal fans were second, whoa, followed by City in third. When I remember right away, I was commentating on the game, was Man City-Gillingham playoff final when the Gallagher brothers left. Then Dickoff popped up. These don't help, do they?
No.
You know, the last train home, you've got to basically leave before the end of the game. Yeah. Just garbage, isn't it?
Yeah, 10 o'clock last train.
And the roads are just, I don't get me going with it.
Yeah, there's probably two ways of looking at this. One, you leave a game early and you miss a potentially a winning goal. Loads of Arsenal fans missed the Declan Rice winner because they left early against Man United. I understand when you're a match-going fan that transport is really difficult, but that last 10 minutes of football is kind of the main 10 minutes of football. That's where you kind of know the result. A lot of the times you don't know what's going to happen. It might be a really tight game, one goal in it, two goals in it, and especially now with the 90 minutes plus 10 plus 11 plus 12, you are taking a huge risk by leaving the ground early. If you're leaving the ground early just to get a spot on the tube or just to get ahead by one or two places in the traffic, just don't bother. Stay and watch a game. I've never left a game early. I never have, never would, because I'm there for the whole event. I'm there for the entire game. And, you know, like I said, Arsenal fans were filmed walking out of the stadium as Declan Rice scores that winner. Now imagine you're an Arsenal fan, you've just missed potentially one of the greatest moments that you're going to see, and if Arsenal go on and win the league, it might be something that they look back on as one of the most amazing moments in their history, and they've missed that to get out a little bit early and get the tube. Look, part and parcel of football is waiting around, queuing. It's life. I really like Lewandowski, but there's a hint of the Paul Breach about him here, and I don't like it. I really don't like it. And anyone who doesn't know Paul Breach, look him up, or don't actually look him up. He's horrible. Basically, this is a video of Lewandowski dancing, and I hate it. Okay, that was TikTok submissions. Thank you again for all of your submissions this week. Really appreciate it. Make sure to keep sending them in, those few people. And anyone who does want to be involved in sending them in, drop us a DM, because you too can be one of the participators of the podcast. And isn't that exciting-ish? Okay, right, around Europe. Let's start with Spain. Jude Bellingham scores again in the new Bernabeu. And anyone who hasn't seen the goal, not the best goal, but the celebration, the fans, the noise in that like 90th minute winner in the new stadium is special. And Jude Bellingham, actually, in fact, I'll put a clip of Jude Bellingham talking about it after the game. Here we are.
Like I said, it's the loudest stadium I've ever, it's the loudest moment I've heard in a stadium. Happily, it was for my goal, but yeah, I couldn't believe it, to be honest. When they were singing Hey Jude at the end, I got goosebumps. I just wanted to turn and stand still and listen to it while my legs were shaking. But yeah, I know that I was brought in for these kind of moments, and they're the kind of moments I know I can deliver for this team. And yeah, I've got to keep doing it and keep making sure the fans go home happy.
Yeah, incredible. And the guy just keeps getting better and better. 20 years old, and he is the talisman for Real Madrid. He is kind of the go-to guy, and they didn't buy him to... He said, you know, they bought him for moments like that. Yeah, but did they expect him to be the man who's going to grab him 20 goals in a season? No, but is he capable of it? Yeah, he is. Jude Bellingham's going to be the best player in the world. There, you heard it here first. A late Lewandowski penalty won the game for Barcelona against 10-man Osasuna on the weekend. Narrow win, 2-1, but they keep ticking over Barcelona. They are going to push Real Madrid. Girona continued their unbeaten run. They've just won 3 on the bounce. They won again this weekend. They've started really strong. Sevilla remain bottom. Obviously, that didn't help this weekend that their game was called off and abandoned because of rain. But they were playing Atletico Madrid, so they are just off the back of a 7-0 win. So probably a good thing to avoid Atletico Madrid at this point. So yeah, Sevilla remain bottom, quite a worrying time for them. In Italy, Lautaro Martinez scores his 5th in 3 games. Inter share top spot with AC Milan after this weekend. AC Milan won again, but Inter, they've scored 8 goals, conceded none. And I think, yeah, they look like a pretty strong favourite for the league. Yeah, don't get me wrong, Milan are going to push Inter close, but I would fancy Inter this year. I think, yeah, there's something about them. They are a team last season who went, obviously, all the way to the Champions League final. I think probably the priority this season will be the league. I think Milan, after winning it a couple of years ago, there'll be a hunger about Inter this year to win that league. And yeah, they've started really strong and they've got some fantastic players. We saw Milan beat Roma. Worrying times for Roma. You know, they've just signed Lukaku, but not a win yet recorded. Milan, a really strong team, but they looked so comfortable against them. I watched a bit of it. Saw the Rafael Leao goal. If you haven't seen it, it's a corker. Holds his man off and volleys it into the bottom corner. They did pull a goal back late on after Tomori got a really soft second yellow card. I thought Milan looked really strong, but Roma just way off it this season. Juve won. They won 2-0. Napoli lost at home to Lazio. That was a big shock. Napoli are going to really struggle to match their levels last season. I think, you know, when you have a season like they did, where they went a decent distance in the Champions League and also winning the league like they did, so many games to spare. Yeah, I think Napoli will really struggle to match that. But they've managed to keep hold of, you know, most of their players. It's only Kim who's left, really. So yeah, the likes of Osimhen, they've kept the same team, but yeah, be really, really tough for them to match what they did last season. In France, PSG smashed Lyon. The game finished 4-1, but it was 4-0 after halftime. It was the biggest banker this weekend. If you'd have asked me which team is going to win and win comfortably, I'd have told you PSG against Lyon. I think the bookies looked at it like Lyon are still the same team as they have been over the past few years, and it would be a difficult place to go for PSG. But when I tell you Lyon are the worst team in Europe right now, they are the worst team in Europe. Lyon are a shambles. And they, PSG scored 4 and then they just went and passed it around and sat off and didn't really do much after that. It was a bit like a training session. They could have gone and got 7 or 8 easily. And it was only a weird penalty decision that gave Lyon a goal. They are in real trouble, Lyon. I think PSG are back. Mbappe got 2. And you can see that there's a hunger about him, that he is back. And I think he will now switch focus. You know, now the transfer windows are finished, I think he will switch focus to this season and be the professional that he is and lead PSG probably to the league title. That said, Monaco really impressed me this week, and I did watch them. That front line of Ben Yedder, Minamino and Golovin look really impressive. All really good technical players on the ball, all really sharp. Very, very clever players. Minamino, I mean, where was this Minamino when he was playing for Liverpool? He could spot a pass, really quick. He's got an eye for goal now. He's still young, so maybe his chance hasn't gone. But yeah, that Monaco team looks really, really good. I was really impressed with them. And then they've just signed following Balogun from Arsenal as well, who got 21 goals in that league for Rams last season. So, yeah, loads of firepower. They could go really far, and I think they'll be the team that will probably now push PSG for the title. In Germany, Kane didn't score, but Bayern did win. They won late with a goal from 18-year-old Matthijs Thau. He's the Frenchman, but yeah, got a goal late on. They won 2-1. Leverkusen, they kept up their strong start to this season. They won 5-1. They won 4-1 last weekend. They are, yeah, maybe a surprise addition to the title race this season with Dortmund struggling. You know, Dortmund failed to win again 2-2. They let a 2-0 lead slip. So Leverkusen look like the team that might be the team that pushes Bayern this season. They've got Victor Boniface, who impressed in Belgium last year. I think a few people who watched the Europa League last season saw him, and you know, he looked dead sharp. He had a good goal record in that competition. But yeah, they've signed him and he scored a brace on the weekend. So yeah, really, really, really strong start from Leverkusen. Okay, so the standout man in that league, in the Bundesliga, is Serhou Guirassy. Someone that me and one of my mates have spoke about earlier in the season as someone who's going to be great this season and really kick on this season. He scored a hat-trick against Sheffield United pre-season, and since then he has not stopped scoring. He scored in every game since. He's now the leading scorer in Bundesliga and has 5 goals in 3 games. So yeah, he's a really impressive player and one to definitely keep an eye on. Stuttgart, by the way, he plays for Stuttgart. Yes, so other places in Europe, Boa Vista top in Portugal. Benfica and Angel Di Maria are second joint. Now, are they a point off? No, a point behind Boa Vista. So the usual suspects will probably be there or thereabouts, but Boa Vista, really great start. In the Netherlands, Ajax find themselves in 11th place. So that's a bit of a worry for them. A tough start for them. Alkmaar sit top, and as I mentioned before, they've just bought that left winger, Ibrahim Sadiq, who really impressed me midweek. So they are adding really strong players to their team, and yeah, maybe it'll be a different winner this season in the Dutch league, hopefully, because you know it's quite boring when Ajax and PSV win it every year. But you know, Alkmaar, they've got the Greek striker Pavlidis, who's now top goal scorer in that division. 5 goals in 3 games for him. He's only 24 years old. Again, really, really, really strong players in that team. Players who can get goals. So yeah, really interesting league this season in the Dutch league, and might be worth a watch. Okay, so we are coming to the end of the show. So we're going to give you the two lies and a truth answer. Just to recap on those three stories, we had Italian maestro Andrea Pirlo once paid Gennaro Gattuso €10,000 to eat a slug. The AC Milan teammates donated the money to the Milan staff. Second story was Serginho, a 23-year-old midfielder who plays his football in the Portuguese second division, had his driving licence taken off him after he was caught with 2 sheep in his back seat.
Sorry, I go for something to eat. Silent treatment, aye. I'm fed up with your fucking huffing. Nothing, you'll go speak.
The Portuguese man was helping a family friend move the animals from a local farm. That was story number two. And story number three was former Westfields midfielder Matt Reeve once received an 8-match ban following his side's first round FA Cup tie with Curzon Ashton. The 31-year-old celebrated a goal by exposing his genitals to his cousin in the stands. Which one was true? Are you ready for the answer? The true story was story number one, Italian maestro Andrea Pirlo once paid Gennaro Gattuso €10,000 to eat a slug. Yeah, and he did end up donating actually $15,000 to the backroom staff. So yeah, all for eating a slug. The quiz question answer. Let's do that. Erling Haaland scored another hat-trick this week. He scored 20 points in FPL. He is the leading scorer in FPL with 39. I asked the question, who is second? And the answer to that question was Brian Mbeumo is second. 33 points from the Brentford winger. Really, really taken over from Ivan Toney. Everyone kind of knew that he was going to be the main go-to guy for them, but yeah, he's taking that pressure on and he's performing. So yeah, 6.5 million I think he was at the start of the season. Definitely someone that should have been invested in. Anyone who's decent at FPL would have bought him, so you can see why I didn't. Yes, so Bryan Mbeumo, 33 points. Erling Haaland's top. He's always going to be top, and I don't have him either. Okay, guys, thank you so much for another episode and tuning in. We would really like to ask you to go and subscribe to our pages, like any of our videos, like any of our tweets and posts, because it helps with the algorithm. And if you've not followed our TikTok page for all the best bits, go ahead. It's at GoalpostsTV, and you'll find us there. You'll see me, you'll see Baker, and you'll see occasionally random clips of Count the Dragon. Thanks once again. We'll see you next week. Tell me stories of all that are great. Cherish these days before it's too late.